I want to read this morning in a couple of places, if you want to turn with me. If you want to go ahead and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, and mark that if you've got a ribbon or a bookmark, or put your finger there. Joshua, chapter 1, and then we also want to turn over to begin our reading this morning in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, if you want to turn to those two places. Again, Joshua chapter 1, mark that place, and let's turn over to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to read in these places here in just a moment. Again, Joshua chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 54. There's a lot of things, I believe, in life that God wants us to endure, that God wants us to engage in. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. When I say that God wants us to engage in, I believe that God wants us to give us the victory and God wants us to win the battle, but we have to engage in those. I want to ask you a question. It's a very personal question, but I want to ask you something. When's the last time that you defeated or last time that you accomplished something, a goal or a desire or a burden that you had? When's the last time that that happened? When's the last time that something that you knew that God wanted to happen in your life, but you had to engage in that so that you might accomplish those things? You know, sometimes we think a garden is just going to happen without ever planting a seed. But the truth is, there's something that we have to engage in. I believe that you'll see this morning in the scriptures that we're about to read is that there is a time in our life that God is going to ask us and remind us that the battle is necessary. You can say the battle's necessary, or we might even word a little bit different, that engagement is necessary. It's important for us to be engaging in things that God intends for us to engage in. Now, I'm going to read in a moment. Let me go ahead and read in Isaiah 54th chapter. And let me read it in the 13th verse. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created a smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. In other words, I've created something for you to use in your engagement so that you can be victorious in. He says, I have created the waster to destroy. And I want to focus on the 17th verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, pause for just a second. We all would love to have a life where we didn't have to engage in something in order to attain it. How many of us would not like a garden we never had to plant, we never had to water, we never had to take care of? We all want the results, but the question is, what are we willing to engage in? When's the last time that we wanted something, but we pursued after those things? Notice what he said. He said, no weapon that is formed. It doesn't mean that it's not going to come up against you. It's just saying that it shall not prosper. In other words, it's going to fall weaker than the one that comes up, that it's fighting against. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. What is the purpose of a weapon? To hurt you, right? Folks, I don't know whether you know this or not, but I'm going to tell you if you don't. There's a lot out there in this world that has intentions of hurting you. One of the great intents that the world has of hurting you is taking away your joy or your relationship with Christ or even preventing you from having one. But what I want you to know is that there is a time in our life that we must engage. There's a time that we have to realize that the battle is necessary. The engagement is necessary. And he said that no weapon is going to be able to form against thee shall prosper, and every tongue. All that just means is like there's an argument that's made in a court that makes you sound guilty, and it seems like you're defeated in court. He said, wait a minute. He said, it's not about whether you're guilty or not. It's about you getting pardoned, or it's about you becoming victorious in this. Follow on with me. He says, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I don't know what battle you have in your life, but I believe in this. I believe that God has intentions for us to be victorious in the battles that we have in front of us. But you know, a lot of times there's people that are much like in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. You don't have to turn over there, but I want to read you for just a moment if I can. I want you to imagine on one mountain you had the people of Israel. You had another mountain, you had the Philistines. And every day there was this giant of a man that come out that we come to know as Goliath. And he issued a challenge. And I want you to notice that this man had such stature to him that everybody was afraid to engage in a battle. And I get that. We're going to read about Joshua here in just a minute. The reason I want to read in the book of Joshua is that God did not tell them to go fight against a weak army. God's going to tell them to fight against a strong army. None of us are afraid of a battle that we're going to lose, are we? In other words, we'll probably engage with an ant that walks across the floor because we all have the potential we can step on an ant. But what happens when our enemy is larger than we are? Are we willing to engage, or are we realizing that a battle is necessary? And Goliath come out every day, and I want to read you one verse if I can. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 11 said this. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, notice what they're saying. They did not realize that there was, they realized the necessity of a battle, but they didn't want to engage in that battle because they were afraid they were going to lose. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been afraid to do something because you were afraid you were going to fail? Have you ever been afraid of something because maybe you're not going to win or you're not going to accomplish it? And I'm going to say this first of all. If you're lost and you never seek after the Lord, you will never be saved. If you feel like God cannot save you, you're in a pretty bad shape. For I'll tell you this, you have to believe. There's a difference in believing that God can save you versus you're not worthy to be saved. And I'm going to say that again. There is a difference if you feel like God cannot save you versus you not feeling worthy to be saved. Folks, the truth is that God can save us and we have to believe in that. But when it comes to our worthiness, none of us were worthy of being saved by the grace of God. But there come a point in our life where it was necessary that we engaged or we went into a battle. And you know what that battle is? It's a battle of good versus evil. God said, I'm going to give you the victory. Here we are celebrating a day that we believe that Jesus could have avoided that crucifixion. He could have avoided that grave, but he knew that he was going to be victorious. But the difference was, he wanted others to believe in that victory too. This morning, do you believe in the victory that God is able to give us? And I believe that God has a great desire for us to win these battles. For I want to turn back to the book of Joshua for just a minute. If you mark that place, I want to turn back there and read Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He said, here's a land. He said, this is yours. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He did not say nobody was going to be in that land. He said nobody's going to stand against you. He didn't say there wasn't going to be a battle. What he's saying is there's going to be victory. You see, today I thank God for the victory that he gives us. But let's keep going and see what he says to us here. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mightest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In other words, when you're going into battle, my word needs to be what you need. Day and night, he said, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know what I believe? If we're going to be a victorious people, you cannot just come part of the way. We got to go all the way. A sinner is not going to get saved by just almost surrendering. It's a total surrender to God. Victory happens when we totally surrender to God. Tough thing to do. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want you to see today is that God tells the Israelites that if they are going to conquer a land, they needed to act. Let me ask you this. Do you believe God's already laid out a plan of action, if you even want to say that? And even greater than that, God's already given you the outcome, but it is going to take action. It's not a word that you want to hear a lot of time in church because we become a very still and a very silent people. But in reality is, if we want the victory and we want to win the battles, there are things that we must do. And I will say this, we must be willing to move for God. Sometimes it's move our feet. Sometimes it's move our mouth. Sometimes it's remove obstacles from our life. But there are things that we must do if we are going to enjoy the victory of God. Notice what he said. He said, all they have to do is act. They have to act with their strength and obedience and their courage to God. And I want you to see what he says there. He says, I will be with you. Notice what he says there. And I'm going to read that to you again there in that fifth verse. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Today, let me ask you this. Has God made you any promises in your life? I've already just read to you right there that he's never going to forsake us. He's always going to be with us. For I want to ask you this. Then if we have God with us, what is keeping us from engaging in a battle? Folks, today Jesus went to the cross. And I believe that Jesus went to the cross at a time that we celebrate a resurrected Savior. And I believe that he was willing to do that so that he would set an example for us and give us the victory by engaging. Could he have saved us some other way? If he would have willed it, yes. But the thing is that God had a plan, and he was, and that plan was going to be in his son Jesus. And there has to be an engagement in that. And that's why he's telling them here in that fifth verse, he says, that God, he said, that he shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And I believe today that God has power. And I believe that God has power for us to be victorious. For I want to read, turn over to the New Testament for just a minute to the book of Ephesians, if I may. Ephesians chapter 1, let me read you a verse if I may. Ephesians chapter 1, and notice what he says in the 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. In other words, where is our power that he's talking about that's going to come from, he says. He said that power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In other words, the power that we have is in Christ Jesus. The power that we have to be victorious comes in him. If you remember, several months ago, we talked about the word in the Greek gods about Nikonos, which means the word Nike, or powerful or victorious. You see, today God wants us to be victorious, but that victory does not come in what we do. That victory comes in him, and I believe that he is the one that has that power. For he tells us there in the book of Romans chapter 5, and in verse 17, he says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. And I want you to see today that the victory that we have and the power that we have, the overcoming that we have, is all in Jesus. It's not a plan or it's not a systematic things that we have in our life that makes us victorious. It's that we have Jesus and we're willing to go into battle. It's that we have Him and we realize that engagement is going to be something that is necessary. That battle is something that is necessary. I have no clue what your battle was yesterday. I have no clue what your battle is today. I have no clue what your battle is tomorrow. But I do know this. If God has brought you to it, He'll see you through it. If God has given you a battle, do not be afraid. For like He told Joshua, He said, "This land is yours." And that's what He's telling me. He says, this land is yours. This property here, this heritage He talks about there. This inheritance, He said, this belongs to you and nobody can take it away. Would you find it a whole lot simpler today to know that that God is already giving you the victory of something before it starts? I believe it is in the book of Isaiah chapter 41. Let me read you a verse if I may. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed." You know what the word dismayed means? If something was to happen really, really fast and we kind of give each other that puzzled look, like, oh no, what's about to happen? If you hear a great commotion that happens outside of here and all of a sudden we start looking at each other with big eyes and confused looks, it's an alarming look. There are people today that when they're fighting against evil, they have that alarming look. Like, oh no, are we going to be defeated? I'm going to tell you right now, we should not be alarmed or dismayed. God has given us the victory. Is there anybody here that's ever looked at somebody else and kind of been puzzled about what's going on? You're like, uh-oh, what does this mean? Our faith begins to move out, and all of a sudden, all these things that we want to try to ration out and understand, they move in, and all of a sudden, we're like, what's happening? But the thing is, He tells them, He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God." When we're talking about fighting against an army that is not a weaker army, but is a mighty army, He said, so what are you going to do? You want to talk about getting some strength? He says, "For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee." Well, you want to talk about somebody in your corner, somebody on your side? It's God. When God says, "I will help you," He said, it's, you know how you teach children all the time, you don't have to do this on your own, I'll help you. You know, there's a difference in you making somebody do something versus I will help you. Let me tell you, every battle that we're in, God wants to help us. Jesus gave us that in a time when He resurrected from the grave, and I believe that He wants to help us. He said, "I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know what it means to uphold thee? He says, "I will enable you to bear all of your trials." Amen. You know what I believe today? God's not just here for a select few. I believe God's here for every trial you face. You know what trial it is that you're facing in life? Sure, you may think, well, God, we got you off guard, and God, you're not prepared for this. He said, "I am with you." He says, "You don't think you can do it?" He says, "I'm going to be there to help you through it." If you're lost, and God, let me tell you something. Let me pause right there. Being lost is a trial. And I want to say that again. Being lost is a trial. And what I mean by that is, it's burdensome. It's hurting you. You wonder, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to do that? There's a trial. There's a struggle that is going on there. But He says, "I will give you the strength that you need to be victorious." And you see, once God saves us, that's not the end of our trials. You know what life has a way of doing? It keeps throwing us trial after trial after trial. And He said, "I'm going to be there with you for every single one." If I told you that God was going to be at 99 out of 100 of your trials, at some point along the way you would say, "Well, is this the one that He's not going to help me with?" But you know what you have today? You have the promise of God that He's there for every single one of them. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, God is there. And He says, I won't read that again. "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee for every single trial," He said, "with the right hand of my righteousness." I believe today that if you'll go back to the book of Joshua chapter 1 where we're reading it, and notice what He says here. For every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said, unto Moses. Notice the tense by which he said this. He says, I have given, not that I will give. He said, it's already yours. He said, this land is already yours. You just got to engage in it. The battle's already yours. The victory's already yours. You just got to engage in the battle. There is a battle that's necessary, and I believe there's a battle that's necessary for us. You know what kind of battles are going on right now? For some people, there's a spiritual battle. For some people, there's emotional battles. For some people, they're going through a financial battle. For some people, they're going through a battle with their health. And there's all kinds of battles that are going on. And let me tell you, some people are going through all of them at the same time. Does that mean God's limited to what battles He can help us with? The trials He can help us with? Folks, today it don't matter your battles and no matter what's going on. It's not that God's dealing with these 600 people and He can't help these other 5,000 people. Folks, God can help us all at the same time. He's God. In all these things, and that's why he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given you as a son of Moses. He said, I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. He didn't say, as long as I'm not preoccupied or I'm not doing something else. He said, I will be there. Let me tell you, folks, that is a promise of victory that we have. And that's what he said there. He says, I will give you this battle. This word is almost identical to what we read about in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to turn back and read for just a minute. Deuteronomy, he says these exact same words in the 11th chapter in that 24th verse. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea shall your coast be. God says all of this is going to be yours. But I want to read that fourth verse in Joshua chapter 1. All the land of the Hittites. This was the dominant tribe of Canaan. God, it's okay if I have to face something that's warm. Just don't make me face the fire. You ever get like that? It's okay, God, if I have to fight a battle or I have to wrestle against something, but may it be something very small, maybe like a cockroach that I can step on, and I'm, you know what? I won. I stepped on some insect and I won. But what are you going to do when the enemy is bigger than you? For I promise you that there will come a day when your enemy is going to be bigger than you. You will need God. There's a battle that's out there that you need to engage in. God said, I've already promised you this. He said, but it's not belongs. The Hittites are there. He said, you're going to fight against them. He said, but oh, don't worry about that. He said, I'm going to give you all the artillery you need. I'm going to give you the strength you need. I'm going to give you the courage. You just must be willing to act and to go. Do you ever wonder what God just wants of us? Just be willing to act and go and believe. That's what He wants us to do. And He says, this very land that He said that He has, this tribe, he said, the Hittites, he says, and it's going to be the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. God has already promised them the victory. Do you know what he's trying to tell them? He said, the land that you're walking on right now, he said, you're already walking on land that's conquered. It's already been won. You know what today? Every circumstance that you're walking through a door in, you know what I believe in? I believe God has already conquered that circumstance and that situation. I believe every circumstance that we face in our life. Some people are struggling with school. Some people are struggling with their jobs. Some people struggle with their health. Some people struggle with all kinds of things. But before you ever even arrived at the door, God has already conquered those things. Sometimes, do you ever want to get in your old belief saying, well, God, this is just too big for you? There's nothing any bigger than Jesus being crucified and placed in a tomb. And matter of fact, 3 days when it was obvious he should have been dead, he rose again. But you know why he rose again? Because he, in that victory, he knew that it belonged unto him. But he knew that he had to do those things in accordance to the plan of God. And that's what he's telling them here is that in Joshua chapter 1, that they had to engage in these things. He said, these are the things that they must do. He says, Go back and read it if I can to that fifth verse. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He said, all of these things that you face, he said, I'm going to help you through. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You mean put that a little bit simpler? You mean put Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1 just in a little bit simpler face? Joshua had to take God at his word and he had to put action to it and go and do. Do you ever sit around and ponder, well, God, if I do this, is it really going to work? I'll tell you this. Just try God and see. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Not going to happen? Maybe something happened. You know what? I tell you this. Try God. I kind of say it like this. Some people jump off the bull instead of wanting to let the bull buck them off. You know, sometimes we want to give up on something instead of something trying to change us. You know, you and I today, we have to just try God. Test God out. Just do it. You feel like you need to do that? Try and see. I tell you this. With God, you cannot go wrong. With God, there is going to be a victory, but you have to be willing to endure those things. And that's what he's telling them here in 1 John chapter 5, is that if we are going to be strong in the Lord, we have to put him to a test. For notice what he says here in this seventh verse of Joshua chapter 1. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Here's where we get our strength from, is following after God. He says, be thou strong and very courageous. Be thou careful to do everything, he said, to do according to all the law. Today, I don't believe that we can pick and choose. I believe we've got to do everything we should. For notice what he says, which Moses, my servant, command thee, turn not from it to the right hand, to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou art. Goest. Folks, today I believe that God has a whole lot in store for us if we would just simply engage. We want to be so peaceful, or we don't want any of this confrontation type stuff, that we just don't want to engage in that. Maybe we feel inadequate, that we're not ready. I understand that. But you know what? God's always ready and God's always prepared. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll skip down to about the 10th verse in some very familiar scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Joshua and the army, when they got ready to fight, they had to realize they were going to engage, but God was the one that was going to give them their strength. He said, but before you go, you know, a lot of people would have this idea. God, you promised me the victory, so I'm just going to go on out here and I'm just not going to wear any artillery. I'm not going to prepare myself. I'm just going to stand there and let you win. Let me tell you something. God wants us to do things for ourselves to be ready. It's not just automatic. It's like sometimes people can think, well, if God doesn't want this to happen, then I can sit here and God can keep it from happening. And I guess that's a conversation for another day. But my point is this, is that sometimes God says there are things that we must do if we're going to be victorious. There is something on our part. For he says you need to put on the whole armor of God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? He said, yes, you're going to fight against the enemy. He said, God's going to give you the strength, but you have to put on the whole armor of God. That ye may be able, why would you put on the whole armor of God, comma, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what that means, don't you? It's schemes. You won't talk about a schemer. That's what the devil does. He's a schemer. In other words, he's always trying to do something to you. Remember when I said that weapons have a purpose to hurt? God is not desiring to hurt you. God's desiring the other end of that to give you peace. But do you know who gives hurt? Sin hurts, folks. The sting of death hurts.
But God said, I want to remove that pain. I want to remove that hurt that you have in you. He said, but if you do that, he said, you might be able to withstand all the schemes and all the wiles of the devil. He said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He said, we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Remember how he said, keep all the law? You know how many, sometimes we say, well, God, all I need is a sword and you can help me win the battle. Sometimes we forget that it's about complete obedience unto God. He said, you got to take unto you, stand therefore. He said, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, all of these things and how they come together to give us what? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember how I said God's going to be there through all of your trials? Every dart that Satan's going to throw at you, guess what? God's going to give you something to protect. For everything that has intent to hurt you, God can give you peace. I marvel, absolutely marvel, but I believe in it. That people are going through times in their life that they should absolutely be crumbling. And they may have tears in their eyes and their hearts may be broken. But they're still at peace knowing God's in control. Folks, today, you know what that is? That's the presence of God in their life. Why? They know that there's victory. That they know that they're overcoming. That Satan throws a dart at them. And don't you wish that darts were just a one-time thing? Don't you wish that you know, when you go through things in life that you only had to go through it once? Let me tell you something. I've experienced, not myself, the sting of death, but yes, I've lost people in my life. And it wasn't just one time or two times or three times. It hurts. But you know what I found out is that God gives us the victory in all of that. Through all the darts, he said, that Satan may throw, he says, you will be protected. He said, you're going to be protected. He said, then you can take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He said, of all these things that you do, he said, ye shall be victorious. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ, in making manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, as in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. In other words, look what we give others. And to the other, the Savior of life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He is saying that sometimes our engaging in a battle lets others see the sweetness and the reality of the presence of Christ. There's not a one of us that's going to jump up and say, God, I want to go through the worst thing I've ever gone through in my life so that others may see you. But you know what God will do? God will send you through that so that you can prove to yourself and even to others that God is there with you. I don't know what you faced in your life. I don't have a clue what happens in your personal life. Some of you I do. Some of you may disclose that. But the truth is that we all have times in our life when Satan's just throwing darts at us over and over again. He gets us down. And you know what God does? God gives us the things that we stand in need of. For I want to close with this, Psalms chapter 44. I want to leave you with these few verses. Psalms 44. And I want to read the seventh verse. Psalms 44 and verse 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. He said, look what you had. He said, God, you took care of them. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Salah. When we praise God for delivering us, it gives that sweet savor that we can let others know about what God has done for us. For I want to go back and read to you Isaiah chapter 54 in verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue, he said, that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Why? Because this is the heritage of the Lord. You know what he means by heritage? This is what I've told you. This is the heritage of the Lord, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God bless you this morning, and I pray that you realize that it is essential that we engage, and that the battle is necessary, folks. Engagement is necessary. Attacking the things that are there. The only way you're going to win is to go. Don't be like the children of Israel that stood back against Goliath and said, I can't beat this enemy. Sometimes we look at the Hittites and say, we can't win. And God say, go and you'll win. Sometimes we'll do that. And you know what David did? David went out and fought against Goliath. And we know how that story worked. He won with one stone. May we be victorious in Jesus this morning. I want us to get a song if we could.